Hi, I'm Tammy Souza, and I'm from Chicago, NBC, but now Fox in Chicago. And I'm brand new to the board this year.
I'm Sean Subbard. I'm the ABC affiliate in the Lynchburg, Roanoke, Virginia market, and I will be the chair in 09.
Jeff Renner from King TV in Seattle.
Mike Alger, KTVN in Reno.
Alan Seals from LA, Lower Alabama.
Yolanda Amadeo, WALB in Albany, Georgia. And as of December 31st, I will not be reviewing any tapes.
Dan Bickford, WSPA TV, Greenville, Spartanburg, Asheville, Anderson, south of North Carolina, first year on the board.
Patrick Powell, WLUK in Green Bay, and I'm rotating off December 31st.
George Lessons, WZZM Grand Rapids. This is my second year on the board.
And Keith Monahan, KCW in Houston, first year on the board.
All right, first thing, let's thank Mike Alger and Judith for this conference. And just to let you know, tentatively, we've got to get contract signs and all that, that we are planning to be next year in Portland, Oregon.
It'll be in mid-June, and it won't be the days of the week that we have this week. By the way, in case you're wondering, the reason that we kind of had the unusual days starting on a Wednesday going to a Sunday is we saved you guys a lot of money by doing that. So, but next year, it appears like we will have kind of a standard short course Sunday conference Monday through Thursday.
And just looking down the road, and keep in mind, very tentative, just a stream of consciousness thought, the year following, we're going to try to go to Miami, include a tour of the Hurricane Center, and beyond that, go to Norman and also SPC. So that's the longer-term thinking. And I know some people are thinking, wait a minute, with San Antonio, didn't we go central, and aren't we west now? Why are we going west again? In order to get professional development points, Louisville will host the National Weather Association. That is their, quote, east conference. So we're going west. That way, our members, if they live in the east, can go to Louisville, live in the west, have the chance to go to Portland, and then in 2 years it will be reverse, NWA will be west, and we will be east on next year. So that's why we kind of mixed it up that way. I know there's probably some questions with the sunset of the AMS seal approaching that will no longer be issued after December 31 this year. So I'm just gonna open the floor at this time to any questions.
Somebody wanna pass the mic there for people?
And there's enough of us in the room. We'd all like to just come up to the front. You know, we wouldn't even need the microphones.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Thanks for attending the conference this year. We'll have a nice trip back home.
Surely there's some posters on MediaLine in the room that would have a comment or two for this body, because they seem to appear quite frequently on MediaLine. So those would actually like to be verbalized in a setting where they could be answered instead of guessed at, we'd be more than happy to handle that for you. There we go.
Finally. Open the floodgates. Here we go.
Wes Hohenstein, NBC in Raleigh, and this is my first conference in, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. But I kind of felt at times, and you know, here I am, while you guys are working hard getting this conference organized, so I hate to dive into this, but you know, at the end of the day, we're still, you know, going on air with only 2.5 to 3 minutes in a newscast. And some of the stuff we're talking about over the last couple of days, I mean, we couldn't get the guys yesterday to give an answer under 10 minutes. So maybe some of the stuff we covered was too scientific, considering what our day jobs are. I was hoping to get a few more subjects that would be more relevant to us as broadcasters, even though we're still, you know, scientists and meteorologists. Am I the only one that feels that way, or
Doug? No, you're not. And Alan Seals would love to address that. Okay.
Yeah, I would love to address it as someone who I love to present, but I hate to be the same presenter every year and every other year. It's on you guys to present to each other. It's all about us sharing with each other, and the balance definitely was not broadcasters sharing what we do. It was non-broadcasters giving us information. So the only way around that is for us to do presentations.
And I think part of the reality is, because we're multi-platform now, because we have increasing newscasts, I know somebody asked me, are you going to do a presentation on the Greensburg tornado? And I'm like, no, I don't have time to develop the paper. And that's the problem, is a lot of our body, we're so busy now that we can't develop case studies and bring them forth. And with climate change being of primary importance to Boston and the AMS, they're offering a lot of trying to feed your brain that you will then distill and then take home to your viewers and be the translator. So yes, if we want more operationally oriented, broadcast oriented presentations, which we would absolutely embrace, they have to come from within the body, and that has been problematic.
I'd like a quick show of hands of any of you who submitted a paper that was turned down at this conference.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so I mean, I hope that answers your question, that yeah, we agree with you. We'd love to see more of that, but it has to come from within.
Yeah, you know, I organized a conference last year, and I remember at the end of July, I think we only had like a week to go to the deadline, and there was like one paper in there, and there were a bunch of government-type papers. But yeah, I was terrified. I mean, I wasn't worried about people not coming to the conference. I was worried about having no papers. And I think it was like nine. I thought I went through the program. There were maybe nine from those of us. And I did hear from people that would say, oh, I don't know, that's, you know, that tornado we had or that ice storm, no one's going to be interested in that. That happened in Caribou or Portland or wherever. But, you know, I can think of things that Drew and I were talking, that we had a huge windstorm on the coast. The first ever hurricane wind warning was issued last winter. So I don't know why I didn't just talk about that for 15 minutes and put together a PowerPoint presentation. So it's not that tough. It doesn't have to be too fancy. I think we want to hear about each other's weather issues.
We do. There's probably some intimidation factor there, too, getting up here and presenting in front of your peers, and also not one to let out any trade secrets of how you do something. But, you know, Mr. Murgo, you have an opinion?
I agree with that. And I at fault, because I told Marco I may do a paper, and I never followed up with him the last time around. he forgot. I promised two friends I would bring this up, and I do understand from talking to many of you it's out of your control, but I do. One of these people is even in the top 10 market, and this person is thinking about going for a CVM and said, you know what, I don't know if I'm going to do it. I can't afford to go to these conferences to continue my continuing development, and I told him there's other things he can do, but I know, what can we do to get to the AMS? This is getting expensive, and this is someone in a major market. How many people are we losing who have good minds in smaller market that could be so much better?
We talked about that last night when we talked about where to have the conference. More expensive locations were actually ruled out. We tried to pick better hubs and tried to look at more affordable ways for people to come. I guess the bottom line is you still have to either come to the conference or do the work to hang on to the CBM or your SEALs in general, but we're pretty cost conscious. We talked about this a lot last night, then we went out and had drinks.
Yeah, no, but Tammy's right. I mean, we talked at length about ways to keep the cost down as much as possible, because we tossed around the idea of going out to Monterey, but the cost of that would just get way out of control. San Diego, the same issue. We debated at length about, do we go ahead and go back east in 09? Are we really on that schedule of, you know, central, east, west? Was San Antonio an aberrate? You know, we talked a lot about that before finally coming to the conclusion about, okay, let's go ahead and do Portland, but then we're really going to make a conscious effort to go back east to do the Hurricane Center field trip in 10 and then 2011 to SPC, to give us the opportunities to do to do high profile things that a lot of us would not be able to do, because yes, it is a capital expense, and you want to get as much out of that as you can.
But even beyond that, if you ever really sit down, has anybody ever really sat down and looked at the continuing education requirements? It's a piece of cake. You don't have to. I mean, if you're working full time as an on air meteorologist, you know, the number of points, I don't have it in the top of my head, but you know, you could easily do it without having to go to a conference every year. There are comment modules, the stuff you get for that, speaking in schools, writing newspaper, there's so many ways of getting the points for that if that's what's keeping you from going for your CBM, that's a very poor excuse not to do it. And there may be other reasons, but that's not an excuse.
I don't think he realized that, and not to be honest, I think you can make the credits even harder to get. I mean, I found that.
I know. Don't go there. Well, the list of what points go to what endeavor, that's all on the AMS website.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just to whoever goes up to any of you, or if it's any of you who are curious, just go to the, AMETSOC.org and just, wander your way on to the broadcast board stuff, and you'll find all that information there.
And keep track of it on a regular basis, too. It'll make it a lot easier than five-year deadline comes up, and I go, okay, now what did I do last, 3 or 4 years ago? How many schools? It's just keep a running tally of it, and probably in 2 years you're going to have enough to satisfy every 5 years.
Oh, and kudos to you guys, because that is a nice site, and it's very easy to use.
Yeah, we designed it ourselves. No, fortunately, Boston took care of that. And keep in mind, keep your receipts for your conferences and things, because there is a percentage that is randomly audited each year to make sure that nobody's, putting, is it the Himalayan conference, extreme altitude stove. But, all right, so we got the PDFs. Another problem we have with price is the AMS is a very large bureaucracy, and you got to feed the machine. So it's not lean and mean, and that impacts the cost of the conference, and that is completely out of the board's control. The board has no influence on that.
Isn't there any way in this day and age of technology to go like a GoToMeeting.com or a webinar, and for the Mets back home to be able to participate like that?
Well, you keep in mind that the presentations presented here are recorded and are available at a delay on the AMS website. So we're already kind of transitioning to that. As far as supporting the bandwidth to have multiple users live online for a conference, perhaps we can get there in a few years. That's an excellent point. But at least the majority of the conference is available offline at a later date, and that's a good point, that if we can prove that you go through those modules, that even that can be used for PDS points.
But that would allow participation.
Yes, from externally participating, exactly. But I think we'll get there. I think depending, because we had some horrendous bandwidth problems wireless in this hotel. So, no, that's an excellent suggestion.
What kind of limits would it be to talk about a sponsorship, having that company help out with this to take care of all those costs we talked about?
Well,
we can be bought.
Yeah.
I mean, well, considering we're broadcasters, we're used to that. The question is, mm-hmm. Boston. How willing is Boston to allow that? And so that's not a bad idea. That's something we can push upstream to Boston and see how willing they are to go that route.
But, and I don't know, are there any companies out there that would?
Well, that's getting lean and mean too. I mean, look at the number of exhibitors. If you've been coming to this conference for more than 5 years, you've noticed the exhibitors are shrinking. This is a new reality. Instead of us being able to come in, look at equipment, put pressure on our management and purchasing decisions, more and more of those decisions are being made squarely at the corporate level, and we are less influential. Some of us have been in our markets a long time and are quite influential on equipment, but it's ever increasing that basically corporate makes the buy and pushes it downstream. Therefore, what value is it to the exhibitors to come to this conference? Less money from exhibitors increases the cost to the rest of us through the AMS. So unfortunately, we're kind of in a bad spiral when it comes in terms of that. Yes?
Is there any way, or has there been any thought given dovetailing on RTNDA at the same time? Plus it's Las Vegas?
I don't know. That's a very good question. And I got to admit, it would save more money if we would meet every year concurrently with the main body, like we did in San Antonio. And quite frankly, that's what Boston would like in order to keep the cost down. But for us as broadcasters, it's problematic because most of us have taken Christmas vacation. Then we have the February book coming up, so trying to squeeze another week in there in January makes our managers throw fits. So who knows, if they like us enough, maybe we can get them to possibly think about meeting annually other than January. We meet concurrently and therefore spread the cost down. And that also gets back to the fact that there's other papers and other sessions and other disciplines that we can sit in on for better value-added content also.
I know that you offered the opportunity here for people to interview experts in particular in one subject. Is there any possibility, and I thought maybe this was done way in the past, of having live satellite uplink opportunities? Because it's one thing to interview the tape or interview people now, take the tapes back home and produce something later, but in this day of immediacy,
I know my management asked, is there any opportunity to do a satellite uplink just to talk back? You know, it's a great promotional opportunity for stations, and there may have been other managers that asked the same question.
I'm trying to remember if we had ever done that in the past or not. Again, there's a cost issue involved.
And I'm trying to think. I don't know if the AML picked up that cost or if it was sponsored by a third party.
That was sponsored in Williamsburg. It was paid for by the amusement park, Orlando. I think they had it as
right.
well.
Oh,
and that was paid for by the venues we were near.
Right. Okay. So the venues picked that up in order to get the exposure they want. Yeah, just one second. WWL, you had your hand up first.
I really appreciate the scientific aspects of.
I just want to let you guys know that I really appreciate the scientific aspects of coming to these every year, because certainly after dealing with all the newsroom, you know, bureaucracy we deal with every day, it certainly represses you and reminds you, especially, you know, why you love doing this. So that's number one. But number two, also, we are, as a broadcast community, and especially for the younger guys, as we saw with some of those surveys, a lot of us only in jobs 1, 2, 3 years. Now, something I noticed, and something I even heard some of the veterans talking about, is that in the NWA conferences, they have things like tape swap. They have, you know, posting. So especially even the younger folks, I mean, of course, you have to take some of it upon yourself, but especially some of the younger folks can kind of speak to and easily communicate with some of the veterans and some of the folks in the bigger markets, et cetera, et cetera. Is there any way that we could kind of incorporate that type of thing with a tape swap or with tape critique, even job opportunities into a conference like this?
We've got just the guy to answer that question. Jeff Renner has did not step back fast enough last night when we were nominating people to chair the next conference.
So Jeff?
I was using the telephone and I was nominated and voted in, but I'm delighted to be doing that. If you have ideas, forward them to me. And obviously we'll have a lot to winnow through, but I'm very sensitive to the point Mike brought up, and that is that we need a lot more submissions from you. You have a lot of good things to say and a lot of good things to do, and I'm always very respectful when I get a lot of tapes to take a look at, and I think the rest of the board feels the same way, at how much good work you do. We'd like to share that. So if you have ideas, jrenner@king5.com. Please do not mail those in all at once, but we'll definitely look those over and see what we can do.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons we haven't had the tape swap is, quite frankly, it's kind of been the NWA's thing. Because I know not the majority of us, but some of us ping-pong back and forth between the two conferences. But that's the first time a tape swap has actually been proposed for AMS, and I don't think there's any objection against it. It's just getting it scheduled. So now that somebody suggested AMS should look at that, I don't see why not.
I said, Jeff. As long as you do that, because I go to the NWA sometimes, as long as it becomes a showing ground for people who are looking for new jobs, and it's all young people, I want to see some of the veterans. And we need them to be involved for the tape swap to really be good. And that's what we're relying on a lot of people.
That's true.
Hang
on, we'll get one behind you.
Okay, I just have a comment and then I'll ask a quick question to you guys. We were involved in the conference in Snowbird and we did try and get a sat truck. The problem that we had was we were at the mercy of the local television station there, and they had some kind of threat at the Delta Center, and the sat truck went down there and we lost it for the day. So the other problem that we had was if we went through a private company, then that would jack up the fees for the conference. And nobody really wanted to pay that, so that's kind of the problem that you face with having to do a sat feed from the location. One question I did have, and I was going to make another comment too, is after being on the board for 5 years, the scars do heal after time. So I'm happy.
That's comforting to know.
It's a relief for all of us. But anyway, the question I do have, is there any plans of having some of the European members back into the conference again? I noticed the last couple years we haven't seen much of them. I know they have their own in Spain this year, but is there any attempt to try and reach out to them and try and bring them back to a few of these?
Admittedly, there's been no attempt to reach out to them, but there's been no attempt to discourage them. And considering how well the euro is doing against the dollar, they'd be fools not to come over here and take advantage of the cheap American holiday that they would have. But no, you know what? That's clear. You in the audience? You're back in the back. There you go. All right.
Hey, I just have two quick things. I tried a couple years ago to do a
which I think we haven't done. We haven't seen what everybody's doing, and I tried to do a presentation on that, but no tapes came in, no video. So would people like to see, I mean, I don't mind doing it, to see just a general consensus of what people are doing, do a presentation, all video, to see how we are doing in the society, you know, just what your presentation's like. But the problem is nobody will send any video. So do you just pull it off the webs? I mean, I'd love to do it. If there's a response and a need for it, I'd do it.
Yeah, like I said, it's all bottom up.
Hey, yeah, I'm the international one, apparently. I'm actually collecting American tapes to take to Amsterdam for the European Met Service. And in return, they're collecting tapes for me to bring back. So if you want me to turn up next year, maybe, with some European stuff and Canadian, which you consider international.
That'd be lovely for you to present, Claire. Thank you for volunteering. Send your email to Jeff.
Hey, that's the first one. Jay, real quick, the other comment came up. A lot of people don't, I don't know if you know you had to pay, but don't let that stop you. I know the fee has increased, and that may be why some people aren't presenting, because you do have to pay, and I noticed it increased this year. Is that going to keep going up, or is it stopped, or do you
out know? Of control of the board.
Okay.
I don't see why you have to pay to present, but we don't make the rules. You know, and that, I agree. I think if you present, you should.
Yeah, I think there's a misconception that we have a lot more control than we do. Yeah. You know, before I served on the board, I was like, oh, we can do this and this and this. And you get up here and you realize, it's like, wow, there's so much being controlled in Boston that we really, that is totally out of our hands.
And make your complaints or concerns, especially in terms of those things, known. I mean, that's something I don't think anybody on the board understands, you know, and that.
Maybe that's a subject of our next board meeting.
You'll see that it's broadcast board. Yeah. So, I mean, it's way down here.
Well, yes, Jay.
Well, maybe it's a subject that we bring up at our next board meeting with John. You know, if you feel strongly about that, as I do, maybe we should get a discount off of our AMS registration fees here.
I agree. We can try pushing that upstream. Absolutely.
I think we should.
Even the commissioners under bureaucracy, but. You know, we got to start the upward push somewhere.
Well, a couple questions about the professional development credits. You mentioned there's going to be an audit of maybe 5% a year. And I'm just wondering how you would audit things like if you'd like do a hurricane special or do a couple environmental stories and even going to schools. How would those be, you know, how would you be able to provide proof of that? Is it, you know, kind of on the honor system?
I would say if you have a log or print out on your station computer system, the newscast rundowns, it just shows that you did a story. Just print out a copy.
Okay. And when it comes to the school talks, let's face it, there's a reasonable amount we can humanly do. And if we see somebody gaming the system that, you know, yeah, I made 300 school talks in 2 months, then obviously we know. So trust me, on the audit, it definitely leans in favor of the candidate. We're not running through there trying to, you know, catch people gaming the system. So it's, and keep in mind, this is fairly new. So this is a process, too, that is evolving, the audit process. And it will, as we find problems, we will work through them.
Jay, in our particular shop, we have a talent form that we fill out and have the schools sign, because it goes into our public file as well for the FCC. And so there's documentation there. Maybe it's something that, well, maybe you don't want to have more paperwork at your station, but that's one thing that we do, and that's my backup.
The other question I had was, you know, I've been reading some of the blogs on MediaLine about, you know, the NWA, and I think most people in the room here probably feel that, you know, the AMS seal is still the more prestigious seal, but I've read things like some people have taken the NWA test and the CBM test, and they found the NWA test more difficult, and you know, they also have a tape review process. So I'm just wondering if the board might look at both exams and figure out how, you know, to make sure that, you know, we are still the better organization.
The CBM test is harder than the NWA test, I can tell you that.
Okay.
I mean, it is. It, unequivocally.
Well, and I've read some of those same comments, and the general feel that I got was that you had maybe one person or two people saying the NWA was harder, and you had, you know, 20 people say, well, CBM I thought was harder. So, you know, I haven't taken both.
Squeaky wheel.
Yeah.
I think it's, you have to take it all with a grain of salt. They're both knowledge tests, but I do believe that the CBM test is more in depth and covers a little bit broader range. I would suggest you probably need to know your stuff to take both, but you can pass. If you know your stuff, you can pass.
Well,
but the CBM's harder.
Let me be brutally honest. In addition to being chairman of the board of the AMS, I'm the former chairman of the Broadcast Meteorology Committee for NWA, and I currently sit on the subcommittee of standards and ethics that oversees the test. The CBM exam is much harder than the National Weather Association test, and we have increased the teeth in the NWA test within the last 5 years. And honestly, I don't think the NWA test is as hard as it needs to be. That's my personal opinion, obviously, but no. The CBM exam is much more thorough and much more difficult than NWA. Maybe through random set of questions, somebody felt one was easier than the other, but no. The question pools are much more depth, and there's much more disciplines covered with CBM.
And Jay, we're reviewing some of the test questions right now.
Yeah, we have a subcommittee that periodically is going to go back and actually review the pool and constantly take some that may be ambiguous, throw them out, throw in new questions. So there will be a churn of the CBM test pool as we go through also. It's not a fixed pool.
Hi, Jay. From all the comments I've heard this week, the AMS board seems like a really fun place to be. So I was just curious, how does one become a board member and what are your responsibilities?
The cost to apply is...
It's out of our control.
No. Actually, one of the things we want to do this morning is to encourage anyone who has an interest. We have three people rotating off the board this year that we are planning to replace and need to replace. We've had some people come up and express interest, and we encourage that. We will be, and I want to speak for you, Jay, but I believe we'll be sending an email letter out to everyone, whoever has an interest in it. There is an application process. It's not that burdensome. It requires you to, send in a CV and give us your reasons, both why you should be considered and why you want to serve. Because it is a two-way street there.
And one of the things obviously we look for is, how often have we seen you at the conference? Have you presented? And, how do you integrate with the rest of the body? Do you seem to be knowledgeable in the subject, both in presentation and meteorology? So we don't have a checklist. It's an amalgam of things, but it starts with just what you did, Audrey. It starts with interest, and then we look at participation and knowledge, and we take that into consideration when we basically extend invitations. It's no, secret handshake society, but if somebody walks up to me and this is their first year, they're not going to get the consideration that somebody we've seen at this conference 5 years, 10 years, and has showed that interest.
You have to have a CBM too.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
Because after this year, that's all that we will be reviewing, and it has to be peer review.
So you must be CBM in order to be on the board. Thank you.
And you got to love to watch tapes.
Yeah, and you got to be willing to watch a lot of tapes. Because the seal's about to sunset, we are in a huge crush of tapes. That's part of the backlog, is everybody's trying to jump that hoop before we stop issuing the AMS seal of approval. So we got huge backlogs. Just FYI, the current failure rate for the AMS seal of approval for the year 2008 is 56% failure.
No.
We attribute that to the mad rush of people wanting to get the seal before the program sunsets. The CBM, those taking the exam, the failure rate is about 34-35%. Those taking the tape review, the failure rate of CBM is about 34-35%.
Jay, weren't we also going to make a list? Because I don't know if any of you are confused, and I've had a lot of questions this week from people about, because if you have your AMS and you have a degree, then you can do it after the first of the year and just take the test, or do you have to turn in tapes, or if you don't have a degree and you get something done before the end of the year. So we were going to try to simplify it and just type up an explanation and send it out, correct?
Yeah, we've got to clarify that. But one thing I will clarify, if you held your AMS seal of approval or your application was postmarked before December 31, 2004, you can upgrade to CBM by taking test only if you do that by December 31 of this year. After that, you will be considered a new applicant and must meet all the requirements of the CBM. So that's the hard deadline there. And also the fact that no more applications for the AMS seal of approval will be accepted after December 31 of this year.
Two things. And the first thing, I guess, is, and I had mentioned this when I was on the board, is that it's a five-year program in terms of the renewal of the, for the professional development and all that. Personally, I think it would be very cool if there was maybe an annual requirement on doing some of the modules. Because otherwise what you could do is wait 4 years and 10 months and then all of a sudden try to crank out a bunch of those. But I think the continuing education on the scientific end of things is taking a back seat sometimes because of all the additional things that we have to do now in a broadcast sense. And these modules are phenomenal. I mean, I can't speak for all of them, but I mean, it's really good stuff. And I don't think it'd be a bad idea if all of us were required to do two of those a year. I don't think that'd be too much to ask. CSS. Should I move on to the next one, or any comments?
Patrick would go.
That's not a bad idea, Greg. It's something we'll put obviously in front of the board in an email and see if that's viable.
Okay. Then the other thing is, in terms of
the subcommittee to churn the CBM test, you know, right?
What was that?
You're on the subcommittee to churn the CBM test, you know that?
Oh, I am.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
So that little off the cuff remark to Mr. Morales was a mistake.
Well, he went to the bathroom and now he's chairing next year's committee for the conference. So that's how we work sometimes.
Anyways, well, in terms of presentations, like potential for following years, again, and this goes back to the fact that we have so many more responsibilities now from a broadcast sense, that I really feel like our ability as a whole doing diagnostic science has really suffered. And because we don't have time, we need suggestions on quick ways to diagnose what's going on now, interpretation of satellite imagery, mesoscale analysis, whatever. But I don't know about all of you, but I worked too damn hard in college to be a regurgitator. I don't want to do that. I don't think you can call yourself a meteorologist and, in all honesty, do that. And I'm not finger pointing here. I've got the same problem that all of you do. And so if there are people, you know, maybe even somebody from NWS or NOAA or whatever, or NSEP, that could show us some of the quick things that they do on a daily basis with their workstations to get, you know, a real quick detailed view of what's going on right now. Is there a hint of boundary interaction or something like that, so we're not completely caught off guard by convection that occurs whenever? I think that'd be really, really helpful.
I think that's a great idea, too, and that's another thing where we can go to our local WFOs. If they have those decision nomograms and forecast, you know, schematics that they could bring and maybe present to conference or explain to you, and then you present, that would be very value-added. Because you're right. I mean, that's Doswell's meteorological cancer that he talked about. We are so nowcasting now. Our tools are so focused on nowcast because of multi-platform that the forecast tends to suffer, and we're more on model output than actual analysis. I know some of us have the time and multitask where they do that, but unfortunately that's kind of where we're creeping as an industry, it seems.
I kind of felt like there were two different conferences going on this week. We had the AMS conference, and then you've got the vendor conferences. I know our vendor had user workshops scheduled, and I know that you can't control that, and that's, from what I've heard, talks and pastures, it's always been a sticking point, is how do you deal with the vendors? And I don't know if there's ever been any consideration that somewhere in the middle of the conference, there's like a day or time set aside, and everybody does all their training on that day. Does that give more value to the conference?
We really wanted to do that this year. It was impossible because of the NCAR field trip. I looked at, okay, we got these days, we're going to have presentation papers. This was a weird one for the vendors, too, because they basically shut down the exhibition hall in the middle of the conference for a day. That definitely is something that we want to try to do. We want to try to, if it's possible, separate that. This year, it just, there weren't enough hours, there weren't enough days. And we really couldn't extend the conference for another day. So, yeah.
I would just ask a question. As we're looking ahead at next year, Portland offers a couple of potential field trips. One would be to the Johnston Ridge Volcano Observatory. Another one, there's a major USGS seismic research center. We could do that, or we could do away with that potential field trip to enable us to set some time aside for that. Maybe just a show of hands, how many of you would still want to keep the field trip? Or how many of you would rather drop that and open up some time for a training session.
Well, can you do both? Could you put the field trip like at the beginning or the end of the conference for those people that only attend part?
That's a possibility.
Well, and believe me, we have gone over that and over that, because we know that since exhibitors are declining, one way to add value and to talk your news directors into letting you attend is to say, hey, if you come to the AMS, we're going to have dedicated system training that's going to be not part of the conference, but the conference will make room for it. And we think that's one of the ways we can help keep attendance up. Is, and also it helps the vendors, instead of having to fly people to Madison or Andover, you know, or Huntsville, that they can come here and get that training. So yes, that is a consideration we've talked about, and we'll obviously weigh it against into next year's conference very heavily.
Do you have a question, Dan?
I think the AMS conference, the broadcast conference, is a very good opportunity for us to get both. And a lot of us only go to one conference a year, especially in the smaller market. So I think we need to keep that balance.
Just a question about the CBM seal versus the regular one, for those of us who've been around a while. There's been no pressure where I work. I was just talking to Nick Gregory to do it. And to be honest, I went through the sample questions. I took this first test you had back a number of years ago, and I could probably pass it, but is it really worth my while? You know, how do we know whether it's really something that news directors are looking at? You know, are your bosses really looking at this, or are they just like, well?
It's only a value judgment you can make in your situation, in your market. In the Plains, doesn't hurt. In San Diego, what's that? You know,
it depends where you're. I was just curious how the, how it was rolling, whether it was, we really want this, or that's nice to have. But
I think the primary reason the CBM was developed, because the AMS wanted to raise the bar of those that had a certification from the organization.
There were just a lot of complaints, and it was back and forth between the NWA and the AMS as to which one was the more valued seal. And anybody could get a seal nowadays. You could just buy one on the corner. So, like Jay said, it's to set a certain standard. You obviously exceed that standard, so it's your choice. But for people coming up, they want to meet a certain standard, and that's the bottom line.
You know, I suppose at some level it's just an individual, you know, career decision. Well, I mean, what do you want to outlay? What do you think is necessary at your particular point in the career? I mean, there's a certain mindset that says, as long as you got three letters next to your name, your news director's happy, the people don't know the difference anyway, so you're fine. Again, so that comes back to an individual decision.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, Brian.
A couple questions. One is, has the board ever had a non-broadcast meteorologist on it, and what or considered having a non-broadcast meteorologist on it to get a viewpoint from the other parts of the AMS?
Not that I know of. I think the tape review process at the AMS is set up where it is peers in the industry. And since that's the primary function of this board, is to review tapes and come up with a conference next year. That's our primary function. We're station scientists and all that are kind of tentacles that we've gone out. And I think for those subcommittees, I think non-broadcasters are probably welcome, especially the committee of station scientists, correct?
I was a liaison.
They're non-broadcasters on that committee. There are. So even though not on the quote main board, but there's other sub-boards, that do have non-broadcasters.
Okay. And is there a way to keep track of sort of what the board is doing and maybe what the top issues are?
Absolutely not.
That's, you know, as far as committee of the station scientists, I know Paul Gross, you in here?
No, he had to leave.
He's gone.
We would have already heard from Paul. But since Paul oversees the CSS, he is extremely proactive, and the CSS actually has a website as part of the AMS webpage. So yes, that committee does great due diligence in letting you know everything that's going on. Whereas we have a stack of tapes this high, and we're so busy shuffling through that I gotta admit, we're probably not as proactive getting other stuff on the website. Guilty.
Actually, at one time we did have a professor, and I think he was from Iowa State, that was on the board for like a year or two, and I was just getting on at that point in time, and it didn't work out very well because his deadlines and things like that were a lot different than ours, and it didn't really work out very well.
But maybe we could look at an advisor or a liaison. I mean, if he could be on one of the other committees, but that would be nice.
I think that's a great question for the future chair.
Sean.
Yeah, and we have people ahead. We've had people in academia before. I know Fred Godomsky was on the board a number of years back from Penn State. You know, of course, he does the PBS show there in Pennsylvania, but he is at least active doing broadcast meteorology, even though it is in the university sector. So something to be looked at.
Yes, Mr. Brown.
Back to the subject of cost cutting. Although I understand one was very good this year, I gave up on the banquet after the Boston boat with 200 attendees in a 150-seat room, and the St. Louis boat, which charged us $35 for peanuts and potato chips and never left the shore. Question is the banquet perhaps outdated? That could have taken, I think, $40, $45 off the cost of the conference this year, and maybe that presentation could have been in just a regular presentation.
That's a good question. I don't see why not. I mean, do we?
Yeah, we weren't even, we discussed whether we're going to have the luncheon or not this year, and, we didn't know. In fact, I appreciate you bringing that up because that wasn't something that I had planned on bringing up. I'm going to send out an evaluation form to everyone here as soon as I have time to put it together, and it'll be a linked to a website. And I really do encourage everybody to give your feedback on this conference. I put questions not only, hey, how do you think it went? What do you like to see more and that sort of thing? But also to try to get an idea of, attitudes coming in, attitudes leaving. But I'll include that. You know, is that something that, I'm not sure what it added to, I'd have to ask Judith what that may have added to the cost of registration, but we'll look at that. If most people think, hey, you know, we can go down to Pizza Hut and have our lunch otherwise. And
I'm trying to think, didn't we used to present the AMS Broadcast Award at that? And what,
yeah. A lot of times, yeah.
Past?
Yeah, it was usually a dinner.
And I think now that they've shifted to that presentation to the annual meeting and all that, and you're right, and who can forget Doswell's speech in St. Louis, by the way, on the boat? Yeah, it turns out we are the evil of weather on Earth, according to Mr. Doswell. All TV meteorologists should be dismissed. So that was quite inspiring.
No, but thanks, Dave. I'll plan on including that in the in the survey.
The majority of people don't want it. They think it'll cut the cost. I don't think it's a big deal not to have.
Yep.
Unless there's some research shows we got some outpouring to have it. Something I just don't think we've really thought.
More
of.
Time for the vendor sessions if you're looking
for
a place to put the
training.
A
vendor session if we.
Could you put the lunch at the field trip? Would you have a field trip like you did this time around?
Okay. If we go to Mount St. Helens Volcano Observatory, it's going to be a very informal lunch. One other question. Portland, the Willamette Valley, is a wonderful wine area. Would you have interest, if we could set it up, to have a wine tasting in the evening as sort of a mixer for family members, friends, that sort of thing?
No, I think that's a terrible idea.
To meet AMS requirements, it will involve climate change and the future of the wine industry in North America.
Yeah.
How will the grapes respond?
Called the Yukon Gold Winery that they're going to be setting up.
As a matter of fact, I think BBC is going to be presenting a paper on the future wine industry. Ours will be good, French will be bad. That's coming up soon.
Hey, Jay.
Fight to climate change.
Matt from Knoxville, Tennessee, back here. I appreciate what Dave said too about that presentation and the luncheon. If it had a little bit more spice to it, if there were a presentation, I think it might be more looked at. But as a cost-saving measure, I agree with him. And the other cost-saving measure I agree with that I heard earlier was I think it'd be a real good incentive to have a reduction in your fees to the conference if you were a presenter, whether that was 25, 30. And I know you guys don't have anything, but if you guys push that, or if you need to send it out to us and we could respond to that, yeah, we agree with this, I think that'd be
pushed.
A really big incentive.
It's been pushed, and we're going to keep pushing it. Absolutely. You'll get no argument.
Yeah, when Jay finishes pushing, then I'll push.
Yeah, right. Please do.
And I don't want to
talk for these guys, but there's a few of us that spent 5 years on the board bringing the CBM in. There is absolutely nothing, nothing these guys can do about that fee. We fought and fought and fought. There's nothing. It's completely out of their hand.
Thank you. Rob Perillo with KATC in Lafayette. One of the things I noticed on Wednesday was when we had the opportunity to make an impact with products with the National Weather Service, most everybody was kind of conferenced out, and there was probably just a handful of us making an impact, not with our local Weather Service offices, but their bosses. And I would like to see more and more of us be involved with that and maybe do that earlier in the day when it's a more highly attended part of the day. Because that's where we really set policy with people that are true partners.
You're talking about the focus groups that they held?
Focus groups at the end
They came in separately and asked, hey, can we hold these sessions after the sessions? And I said, that would be wonderful. I went. And if anybody was conferenced out, I was. And right. And I understand. I understand that. Perhaps what we need to do is, I mean, it's kind of like what we're doing right now. Have a segment in it, and this is something I'm going to pass to my colleague here. That maybe that's something that can be incorporated. But that also has to kind of come out of the NWS as well, because they came in very late in the process after everything was set up and said, oh, by the way, can we do this? And I said, well, we'd love to help you out. How can we make it work? And that's how it worked.
So what you're talking is maybe we could do a panel discussion up here, get some of them up, and have a feedback opportunity. I think if we did the focus groups, how many of you felt that the length of the focus group, the time they were asking you to spend with them, was too long? I think
they wanted an hour, half of your time, I think, at the end of the day, which was tough.
Yeah. So to answer your question, we'll see what we can set up on that.
I had that same session, but as part of the conference early in the day instead at the end.
Because we start getting bleed out and people want to do things, and earlier in the day, I think we'd have a greater impact on them. Although, I like being one of four or five people that have the impact on the Weather Service and the products and my needs.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think we'd be better served as a community that way.
I agree. Take it up at our next meeting.
And do that kind of a forum and at least allow some exchange between now and the next, whenever the next conference is. So we could get creative with ways to provide input.
What's the maximum capacity? How many users can you have online at one time doing that?
You can do up to 1,000 with the presentation graphics.
Okay.
We in the Weather Service usually do between 50 and 100, so that would be a fair sample.
And that's two-way audio? You get audio back as part
Let's
of that?
Let's do it at 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah, you're on a conference call, essentially, and then you get the presentation
Which
graphics.
Time zone?
Yeah,
well.
That'd be great. And the new version of GoToMeeting has voice over IP, so you
two would be
could
the
even
latest
do,
we could
a,
do it.
An internet-based
what, for an hour and a half?
Version of that
Not a
well.
Chance. It had to be one.
Not a bad idea.
By 3, we're done.
One other thing I was just going to mention, and I'm not trying to defend myself here, but I was involved in that Doswell thing. And, AMS really encouraged us to bring him on board here, and we had no idea he was going to say what he ended up saying, and he almost ended up being part of the debris floating down the Mississippi that night. But, one of the things, when we're asked to do things, we responded to what a lot of people wanted the banquet to be a little bit different, and so that was the whole reason behind doing that, was that we thought, okay, this will be on a boat and we'll float up and down the Mississippi, it's going to be great. And not only did the thunderstorm, with some of these conferences we've had some of the most horrendous weather in the past. This has been an exception, I think, compared to previous years, and so there was no way we could anticipate some of that stuff, nor anticipate what the speaker was.